You know, it's Howard Hendricks, by the way, that's the great guru out of Dallas Seminary, who said, training without coaching is a complete waste of time.
Welcome to the Gospel Coach Podcast. We're here to remind, refresh, resource, and re-engage with gospel coaches all around the globe. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., and I'm here today with the pioneer of gospel coaching, Dr. Tom Wood. He's the founder and president of CMM, where for 15 years, he's been training gospel coaches in the cross-conversation model. It has spread from Atlanta to every continent. Our goal in these podcasts is to empower you, the gospel coach, in your ongoing coaching of other leaders. We'll give you examples of what we've learned over the years and invite different guest coaches to share what they've learned through coaching to advance the gospel with their coachees. So whether you're in the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, or Cuba, South Africa, India, Australia, Malaysia, Nigeria, or Germany, or any other nation, let's get started cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching. We'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to send us a note at gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com with questions and comments.
Well, we welcome a good friend today, David Whitehead. He's Senior Director with City to City and the Global Coaching Director. I think that's the right title for him. He can correct me later. In fact, if you're listening today from outside the USA or the UK or Cuba, even Canada, you have probably not only heard of David Whitehead, but you've been trained by him. He really is a very big deal. It's on the global stage. So we're glad and very happy to have him part of us, part of our podcast today.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us, Dave. Always a joy to be in the room with you and Tom. You guys bring things out of each other that are always insightful and at times a riot. So all of you, buckle in. We'll see what happens today on the Gospel Coach Podcast.
Dave gives, he's the wind under my wings. Many times. Okay.
We're not even going to touch that. We're not even going to touch that one, Tom.
Hey, Dave, we're laughing. We've done hours of gospel coach training together. I mean, all over, I mean, in many cities in the U.S.
Yeah.
In fact, we traveled around the world just to, together just a few years ago. We met with gospel coach City to City train folks that you had been involved with. We did some advanced level training with many of the gospel coaches in some cities. We did some strength and weaknesses and opportunity and threats analysis with one group, if I remember correctly. We had a great day that day with that group. Down under, I think. We had a wonderful host on that whole trip that we went on many in many places. Roger, I'm not going to use his last name for security reasons. But we called him I Wonder Roger, right? Remember Roger? Yep. You're probably still in touch with him. I'd love to see him again. He was a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'd love him.
Yeah, Roger's a great guy. He is the now the coaching coordinator for Asia Pacific. So he helps set up the trainings and execution of coaching throughout Asia.
Well, I hope he listens to the Gospel Coach podcast. He's a good coach and a wonderful trainer, and he was a good friend and a wonderful host to us. Taking us around. We also met on that trip with some of the other hub city leaders and talked about how to add gospel coaching to their incubator system. And I know you've developed coaching for City to City's incubator.
Yeah, I'd really like to hear for folks that are not City to City gospel coaching coaches, what that's like. How do you describe that?
Well, if you think about it, Jim, through an ecosystem, if you will, every church planting movement has components that make it successful. I mean, one might be fundraising, another would be sponsorship, a third one might be training. There's always some form of training that has to happen. And for City to City, incubator is our training module. And so studies have shown that when you combine coaching with training, the retention, the effective retention rate of training increases by 400%. And so what we realized is we needed to connect our coaches with church planters to the people who are going through the incubator, our training mechanism, and coach them through it. So the way it would work would be, for example, if they had a module in Incubator being trained on how to create evangelistic pathways, then the coaches are all aware of when that module occurred. The following week, they would be talking to the attendees, their coachee, the person who attended the Incubator, and basically using coaching techniques and specifically gospel coaching techniques, they would help these trainees understand how they're applying evangelistic pathways to their unique plant. So in other words, it's been well said that a lot of training is just in case. We're gonna train you in this just in case you need it. But with coaching, you add just in time. So what is relevant to you, what is irrelevant to you, and what can you apply now? And it helps the retention of that material increase fourfold.
And you developed the coach, you trained the coaches in using their coaching, gospel coaching motif with this training mechanism called Incubator.
That's right. That's right.
You know, it was Howard Hendricks, by the way, that the great guru out of Dallas Seminary, who said, training without coaching is a complete waste of time. So I think you've not only you City to City guys get that, but the Dallas Theological Seminary guys got it too. So,
yeah. Well, particularly in an information age where we think if we've learned something, we're living it.
Right.
Or you think you've learned it because you've heard it.
You've got gathered
information. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we adults, we now know, learn by doing. And that's where they're learning while they're actually in the process of doing it. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's great. I mean, that's a way that you guys have adapted gospel coaching to provide gospel coaching prior to someone planting. I'm curious, what other ways have you seen around the globe adaptation and contextualization of gospel coaching?
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question, Jim. There's a lot of adaptation going on right now. I just got back from Africa on this is Monday. We're recording this. I just returned from Africa on Friday, where we unveiled the inaugural Ubuntu gospel coaching module. So from African scholarship, taking the concept of Ubuntu, which is a saying used throughout the continent, as I am, we are, we were able to marry the gospel story into a communal expression. So instead of one-on-one coaching in Africa, they learn better in groups. So everything is group coaching. It's not one-on-one. And it's more based upon myth and storytelling. So it's less the Western abstract ideas. And it's also based upon how Africans view God and how they view spirituality. So for 1.0, I was very pleased. Now we'll see how effective it is. But it's just an example of one of the many adaptations that are going on, starting from different reference points than North American reference points. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. What about the ones, I mean, that's a very dramatic contextualization. It's cross language, even cross worldview. What are some of the ways that you've seen in your training of leaders, say in South America, or our training of leaders in South America and the Caribbean and Europe, how have you had to adapt and adopt things as you're going along as a gospel coach trainer globally?
Well, we're learning as we go, Jim. And of course, as you know, I can't contextualize anything. It really comes down to people on the ground in those cultures contextualizing. Yeah. So they have to contextualize. So I find that I'm more of a midwife. Once we get it in there, then whatever they birth, that's what I'm trying to help them deliver, if you will. And then even then it goes through a whole nother level of adaptation and change. So for example, when we're doing things in Germany, they have seen prayer as such a key component to what they're doing that they've changed. They've taken the gospel coaching model we've done and they've said, no, prayer's got to be at the front of this thing. So they've created a whole new expression of it using prayer as a mainstream. We still have it in North America, but it's in the German context. They want to present it right up front, right center, actually front and center of the gospel presentation. So also it's based, it has to be based upon shame cultures and conflict, how they view shame, how they view conflict. For example, in Japan, there's no Japanese word for sin. So how do you talk about sin when you have a culture that doesn't even have a word for it? When you're in Africa, for example, when at least where I was, we had to take the word idol out of the dialogue, because to them, when I say idolatry, they're going, we're not idolaters, which meant we don't sacrifice on the riverbanks to the tree gods. We don't do that. And so we had to take that whole verbiage out, because we're a scientific community. Idolatry paints a picture for us. But they are a supernaturalist community, and idolatry is a specific definition for them. And so we had to pull that word idolatry out, which confused them, and bring the word desire, over desire, in. And that changed everything for them. Suddenly they got what we were talking about. So Jim, it goes, we're watching the adaptations come down to how you view yourself, where you view, how you view sin, how does your culture view sin, and actually how you view conflict. Once again, back to Japanese, you don't make a statement, you reinforce whoever said what they said to you, and then you add a little subtle thing to the very end. And then they repeat everything you've just said, and they add a little subtle thing in. And it goes on, and to a Westerner, it would drive us crazy, but it's the Japanese way of conflict.
Today, it's time to remind yourself of the grace-renewing dynamics at the heart of gospel coaching. Tom's new book, Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing, is the expanded teaching of the core of the coaching you've received in your foundations class when you've trained to become a gospel coach. David Whitehead, senior director and urban gospel coaching trainer with City to City New York, wrote, "This book is a winner and needs to be read by anyone who is serious about going deeper in their walk with Christ." Dr. Bill Sim, Korean Ministries Coordinator for Mission in North America, who recently completed all the pieces of Gospel Coach training, said, "Vital Grace is like a defibrillator, awakening us to experience a radical outpouring of God's grace." Vital Grace, Getting Everything for Nothing by Tom Wood is now available at Amazon.com. Get your copies today, one for you and one for your coachees, so they are saturated in gospel renewal.
So when you say we're adapting it and contextualizing it, let me make sure that we're still training in gospel coaching, not just methodology.
No, we got rid of that, Tom. We're
changing
that.
We're changing the methodologies, maybe. But so for both of you, because Jim's training in cross-culturally as well, how is gospel 3D delighting, that faith part, the distress part, which we call repentance, the obedience part, giving direction, you know, going in the direction of the Lord and following after that. Are those still included? And if yes, then how are those things adapted culturally?
I'll answer first. In one context, you know, we used to call it gospel dance, and that didn't fly at all because the folks in Cuba said they don't dance, at least in that denomination. So the mental picture of a dance didn't resonate with them, and they substituted the gospel piston, because that was a mechanical thing that everybody there, believe it or not, very practical and could get the mechanics of it. So the concepts are there. That's one way. I think there's a bit of a difference in the UK as well. It's probably not as drastic because the language is the same and the culture is pretty similar. That's the initial thought. What about you, Dave? What have you seen?
Well, I think obviously the gospel is a central part, and I think that's what makes this grow throughout the world. It's not a methodology. It's the application of the gospel to an expression of discipleship we call coaching. At least that's my take on it. And I think that when you're dealing with, for example, distress, in other words, repentance. Many times, and this is what I often run into, ran into it in Africa, I've run into it in Brazil, I've run into it all over the world, is most Christian leaders are used to moralism. So we have to first help them understand that what they have called the gospel, they've used the wording, but it's actually been based more upon a performative identity, and a transactional identity sometimes. I think North America is the most transactional, but there's a sense of quid pro quo, I'll do this, God, therefore you've got to do that. And it's this give and take. And it takes time to deconstruct that understanding. So in order to get to delight, you have to get to distress. You know, good news isn't good news unless you need it. And so I find that's the biggest hurdle we have to overcome, is helping people understand that actually we're a lot more sinful than we want to admit. And this is particularly true of Christian leaders. They don't want to think of themselves as sinful. They want to think of themselves as dynamic, catalytic. They want to think of themselves as world changers, fill in the blank. They don't want to think of themselves as sinful, because too much of that, they lose their job. So, yeah.
So there's a, you have to find out where they are on grace renewal dynamics before you can start addressing the use of the particular tool. So if they are really familiar, as in some cases, of course, repent, believe, and obey makes perfect sense. Other people have different interpretations and different emphases.
Right. And even the term grace renewal dynamics is a very technical term that a lot of people don't get.
Right. I'm just using it because you and I understand it. So for coaches that are listening to this and don't know what we mean, that's a very much an insider topic.
We're in trouble if that's the case. If our coaches don't know what that means, we're in trouble. But, you know, it's interesting you say that so all over the world, this moralism, behavioral approach to Christianity, to God, has infected every culture, because it's really part of our post Eden story, right? I mean, yeah. And so every culture is infected by that. And unfortunately, I think a lot of cultures that got Christianity from Western missionaries, you know, in the last 100 years or whatever, were infused with that, even that moralistic approach. And that the gospel was simply accepting Jesus as your savior, getting, you know, that, and anything beyond that was something else. So let me ask another question. So how about, I understand, you know, in some of the things that you're doing, you know, the cross conversation model that we developed here in the U.S., that doesn't translate into other cultures, obviously. Didn't translate into Spanish. They had to change letters around and things around, because it doesn't, you know. In fact, even in the Hispanic world, we couldn't even use coaching, because coaching had a bad, you know, reference to that. Yeah, it was a bad word. So we had to, it's mentor. So you're still training coaches, Dave, that have intentional gospel conversations. And in those, is there still in that training a connecting time? What we call the C, NRC, do they still have to learn that they need to relationally connect to one another?
Yeah, Tom, actually, in most cultures, the connect is the easiest part.
So learning one another.
So, yeah, they gravitate toward connect. As a matter of fact, in the South American cultures that I've been a part of, and Jim, I know you've seen this, is that to not connect is insulting. It will not allow an intentional gospel conversation to go forward. Yeah. So,
but you know what's interesting, Dave? You know what's interesting, though, in one of the cultures where we were training, is culturally they would say they are a very highly relational culture. But when we started doing training with them, they discovered they didn't really know one another. They had not really learned one another's stories, you know, or their backstory in their life. And so the connecting time was a powerful thing for them.
Absolutely. And this is something that coaching brings to every coaching network, because networks don't have relational connection architected within it. So that's a network issue. That's a an organizational flaw that I think coaching solves. So when you bring coaching in, you're actually getting leaders to talk to each other beyond a pastor's conference or a general assembly. You're actually getting them to learn about each other and their stories. And I would even say that's a benefit that coaching brings to every network. They need it because training doesn't necessarily do it. Conferences don't necessarily do it. Coaching is a safe place to help leaders really connect with each other.
Yeah, and I hope our coaches and the coaches that you're training across the globe are learning that, and the networks are being being developed. But listen, Dave, there's so much happening. I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad that we have the honor of being partnered together. If I can share a secret, if you don't mind, we also have Dave as one of our senior level coaches at CMM. He's been with us for many years. And I want to thank you, Dave, for being such a great team player with us. Very few of the men that we certified along the way over the many years decided to stay as close a colleague and friend as you have. And so I'm very grateful for you. I'm grateful for the ministry you've had. And though I don't mean this, that you have more children, but may your tribe increase. And we're going to have you back soon to talk about coaching. And I think we're going to pick a topic for you on launch teams. But thanks for joining us today. And I really appreciate your friendship.
Thank you, Tom. It's always been great to have you as a mentor, and I greatly value it.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.